I'm in my last 2 weeks of training for the White Bear 10-mile run around the lake. I know some parishioners are going to be running with me. I wish all of you would run with me, but I do have a small sampling. And I've been increasing my running over these last 4 months in preparation. Over the last 4 months, I've averaged about 60 miles a month, just trying to get out there and get back into the habit of running and getting ready for this big race. My MO, though, when I was training on my own over these last 4 months, was just to look at how much time I had and then to go out and to run as long and as fast as I possibly could every time I went out. That was my plan. I thought, well, this will be helpful for me. I'll just go out and run as fast as I can, and then I'll keep improving and improving. And I improved somewhat, certainly. But then it dawned on me, well, I'm not really a professional in this area. Maybe I'd get some advice from somebody who knows a little bit more about running and training. And so I reached out to a friend. I was able to run with him in June. He lives in Southern California. And so I was running with him in June, and so I reached out to him about a month and a half ago, and he knew that I was running this race, and I told him, you know, I'm trying to run 3 days a week between 15 miles and 20 miles a week. Could you help me kind of put together a plan that would actually help me hit my target goal for this race? And he was delighted to. His name is Nick. I've known him for 14 or so years. I celebrated his wedding when I was a newly ordained priest, and then I was able to meet with him and his family, his newborn daughter, this summer. So he's become very, very dear to me over these years, and I was able to trust him in this plan that he wrote out for me. But each day is a little different. You know, I run about 3 days a week, as I said, and I don't go out anymore just running as fast and as long as I possibly can. Nick's plan for me is actually varied. Like yesterday I ran 8 miles, and tomorrow I'm going to run 4 miles, or 5 miles, but four of those are at my race pace. And so I've been able to put myself to this discipline that he's given me, and I see it paying off. I see his wisdom in the plan, even though there's times I might want to do something different, I might want to add to it or change it or subtract from it. I put myself to the discipline, I'm achieving the goals that he's set out for me, and then in 2 weeks, I really hope that pays off. I hope that I'm not injured, I hope that I'm able to accomplish the goal that I set out and the plan that my friend Nick help formulate for me. And I think this model is actually very helpful for us as Christians, this model of putting ourselves to a discipline or a plan. I think it can help us actually understand what the Lord's plan is for us, what his commands are, what we ought to do to hit our goals. What we ought to do in listening to the Father's will for my life so that I might end this life with him. This is really, I think, the way we can frame the Lord's commandments, the way we can frame his disciplines for us. Even though they might be challenging sometimes, they might be hard and even for our minds to grasp, but to recognize the Lord's discipline, the Lord's command for my life, it's actually a gift to me. And this is like my friend Nick. My friend Nick gave this plan to me as a gift. And I trust him. I love him. And I'm able to follow this plan the way he intended to give it to me. And I think we can frame the discipline that the Lord gives us in this way. This letter of St. James today, it starts off, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father. And there's this theme today in our readings of the Lord's law, of the Lord's command for us. He tells Moses, you should not add to what I command you. Don't subtract from it. Observe it carefully. Because if you do that, it's actually going to bring you life. It's going to bring you goodness. It's going to help you achieve the goal that I have intended for you. And the people of the ancient world were actually envious a bit of Israel, that the Lord had given them the law, that he had given them this plan. It showed actually the Lord's love and his closeness to them. They weren't just burdens that the Father placed on them, but actually a gift. And we can even hear that in this book of Deuteronomy. For what great nation is there that has gods so close to us as the Lord is, as the Lord our God is to us? What great nation has statutes and decrees and laws and disciplines that are as just as this whole law that the Lord has given to us? This is how we can see the law and the statutes and the disciplines that the Lord gives us, that they're a gift and that they're actually for my good. If I follow them, they'll lead me to this goal that I have for myself and that the Lord has for me. Of course, if I were to give you the law that my friend Nick gave to me, okay, church, we're going to run 10 miles in 2 weeks. You're going to do it with me. Tomorrow we're going to run 5 miles. Let's get on board. Not too many of you would be keen on that, would you? You might not recognize the goodness of that. It's not your goal. And you don't know my friend Nick. You don't trust him and love him like I do. You might think, Nick's trying to kill me. But because I can recognize who he is and my love for him and his goodness to me in giving me this plan, I'm able to follow it. And I think that's actually the first step in receiving the law and receiving the disciplines that the Lord has for me, to recognize the one who gives it. Because then I can welcome it more readily and with greater freedom. In the letter of St. James, again, this is where he starts. He says, step one, humbly welcome the word. Welcome what God speaks to you, because it's been planted in you and is able to save your souls. That's the wisdom that St. James gives us today. We ought to welcome that word as a gift and remember the one who gives it, the giver, is a good person. He wills my good. That's step one, to recognize the giver is good and the gift that he gives to me is for my good. And that's why I ought to welcome it. The Pharisees and the scribes in the gospel today, I think they missed the mark on that very first step. You see, they saw the law and the statutes and the disciplines of God as something to follow in a legalistic way, to observe to the letter. And they actually then forgot who gave it. And they forgot the reason that he gave it. It wasn't just for moral perfection, but as a way that they might enter into his love, and that they might experience his goodness. And so I think that's why Jesus' rebuke to them in the gospel is so harsh today, because they jumped to step two before recognizing step one, to recognize the giver and his good gift and the love by which he gives it. They just jumped to step two, which James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's ultimately where we want to get, right? We want to follow the Lord's discipline and his commands in our lives, but we can only do that if we follow step one first, to recognize the giver, to recognize his goodness, and then welcome that word planted deeply in our souls for our salvation. It's this two-step process, welcoming the word and the giver who gives it, and then being doers of that word. And so in this spirit, I want to give you a discipline. I want to give you a commandment this week that we're going to follow as a church, if you're on board with me, over these next 5 weeks. It actually has to do with our second reading from the letter of St. James. We don't hear from the letter of St. James all that often, but in the lectionary cycle every 3 years, we hear it almost in its entirety. It's only 5 chapters. It's a very short letter. Today we heard from chapter 1, and over these next 5 weeks, we're going to hear all 5 chapters. And a discipline, a commandment I want to give you if you're on board with this, is that you would read the letter of St. James with me over these next 5 weeks. Now, I timed myself this week in reading chapter 1. It was 4 minutes, and I read it at a slow pace. If we read this letter chapter by chapter, maybe you even read it every day of this week, it's only going to be 4 minutes a day. The word that you might welcome would, I think, come more deeply into your heart, that when you hear it at Mass, you're going to remember some of those themes, some of the themes of the letter of St. James, like we heard today, be doers of the word and not just hearers. He talks about our speech, about how the tongue is like a rudder in our life. He talks about how faith and works actually work together. And they're not in opposition to one another, that one comes before the other, but both are necessary. You're going to hear those themes over these next 4 or 5 weeks, all the way through September to the beginning of October. And so a discipline, a commandment I have for you is join me in reading this letter week by week, letting those words be welcomed into your heart, that then we would be doers of that word. That you and I would go forth from the church and we'd be able to love orphans and widows and those who are destitute and abandoned, that the world would see our good works and give praise to our Heavenly Father. And so I ask you to join me in this discipline. If you're not going to run the 10-mile with me, that's okay. But join me in reading this letter of St. James, welcoming the word into our hearts, that we would be more faithful doers of that word, giving glory to our Father.